The Presentation of the Lord. A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, and refine them like gold and silver, till they present right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it is not with angels that he is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. The Word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves, or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. The theme of today's readings: Jesus came to the temple to meet his people. The temple signifies God's presence among his people. It begins with the tabernacle, when the Israelites were journeying 40 years in the desert. After they settled down in the promised land, King Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem and moved the ark into this temple so people could pray and offer their sacrifices for the forgiveness of sins. When the first temple was completely destroyed by the Babylonians and people were on exile in 721 BC, God let Cyrus, the Persian king, set them free and come back to Jerusalem to rebuild the second temple, which was dedicated in 515 BC. When the second temple was again demolished by the Roman armies in 70 AD, God's presence was no longer limited at Jerusalem, but expanded to all churches in the world. Wherever there is a church, God's presence is with people until the last day. Today's readings emphasize God's presence in the temple to welcome his people any time they come to meet him. In the first reading, the prophet Malachi, the last prophet of the Old Testament, foresaw the day that the Lord himself shall come to visit his people to purify them from all of their sins. A messenger shall come in advance to prepare a way for him. In the second reading, the author of the letter to the Hebrews described the manner of God's presence. He shall be incarnated in human form to live among people. They can see him in human flesh. He shall go through all human suffering so that he can have compassion, help, and take away all of their sins. In the Gospel, the elder Simeon was the first person to see the Lord in human form when Joseph and Mary brought him to the temple to meet his people. Simeon asked God to take him away because he has seen the salvation with his eyes as foretold by prophets. An analysis of the first reading. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The book of Malachi was written after the exile, about 515 to 400 BC. Like other prophets, Malachi believed the reign of the Messiah is near. Behold, I send my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. According to Malachi, a messenger shall come before the Messiah to prepare a way for him. When this messenger finishes his preparation, the Messiah shall come any time. The messenger's role. The Jewish tradition believes the day when the Messiah comes shall be a terrible day for the wicked, but a hope for the remnants. The prophet Malachi foretold what shall happen on this day. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, till they present the right offerings to the Lord. The messenger's two main duties in preparing a way for the Messiah are to refine and to purify people's minds so that they shall be ready for the Messiah's coming. Two material things are used by the messenger are fire of the refiner and detergent of the fuller. Fire is used to find out the real gold and to purify them from unclean mixture. Detergent is used to wipe out all dirt in clothing. What the messenger needs to purify and to refine are human minds, so they can be firm in their feet on the Lord's day. Malachi accused the priests of their sins because they were lazy and despised God in worship. This is why God did not accept their offerings. He shall choose the more purified offering. Therefore, the main people that Malachi aimed to correct are the Levites. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver till they present the right offerings to the Lord. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old and as in the former years. The prophet Elijah was the Messiah's messenger. Malachi continued to reveal about this messenger. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of our fathers to their children, and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. Luke took Malachi's prophecy and applied to John Baptist in his Benedictus. and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. The duty of people to God must be in parallel with their duties to neighbors, especially to those who are in their family. When their vertical relationship to God is neglected, their horizontal relationship with others is also suffered. God's messenger must pay attention to the reconciliation between human beings in their family and community. An analysis of the second reading. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect. When Christianity was spread in the Roman and Hellenistic cultures, two difficult questions that the Church must explain for them to understand are, first, why must Jesus be incarnated? To the Greek, God is purely spirit. There is absolutely no material in him. To liberate themselves and to unite with God, people must try to set them free from their body, a prison that confines human soul, by some kind of a secret knowledge. The Christianity is completely on the opposite side. Jesus must take human form to liberate people from sins, because people could not do as the Greeks advertised. Second, why must people suffer? The Greek and the Jews don't believe God must suffer. Only people must endure suffering. To them, a God who suffers is no longer God. They reasoned, if God doesn't have power to overcome suffering, how can he help people to overcome their suffering? Christianity is also opposed to their belief in saying salvation cannot be achieved if Christ does not go through his passion and die on the cross. The author of the Hebrews answers these two questions as follows. Jesus must be incarnated to take a human form. To destroy sins and death, Jesus must have a human body to die and to compensate for human sins. Without a body, how can he die? The author reasoned, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it is not with angels that he is concerned with, but with the descendants of Abraham. Jesus did not remain in death. He resurrected in glory and became the first fruit of all who were resurrected from their death. He is the forerunner who went first to open the way for his brothers and sisters to follow him on that way. Jesus must become a man in all respects. The author recognized the necessity of Jesus' completely being a human being, except sin. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. The purposes of Jesus' completely becoming a man are, 1. He can be really regarded as a man. To be a man is to suffer and to die. 2. He can understand and have compassion with human fate. If a person does not go through suffering and death, he shall not completely understand and have compassion for those who are in that situation. And 3. He can effectively help those who are in such a situation. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are also tempted. In short, God has authority in both life and death. He can let his Son to be incarnated, suffered, died, and resurrected. Nothing is impossible to God. The one thing we need to always remind ourselves is that let us never apply human way of thinking to God. An analysis of the gospel. The examples of those who lived according to God's way. The Holy Family kept God's law. The Jerusalem Temple is the center place of the Israelites. The Holy Family, though they were poor, kept the law by fulfilling their obligation. So when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Simeon believed in God's promise and the Holy Spirit's guidance. The reasons why Simeon was one of the first people to encounter Jesus is because he frequently visited the temple and strongly desired to inherit God's salvation. Mark described his characteristics as follows. Simeon was righteous and devout. He was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Inspired by the Spirit, he came into the temple to encounter the Lord. When Jesus' parents brought him into the temple to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. The application in life. Churches are places where people encounter God to pray, to be guided, and to receive necessary blessings for human life. We need to prepare for our mind every time when we come to churches to meet God. If we come to there with an unprepared mind, hurry, and disrespect, we cannot encounter God and receive His blessings.